Hey everyone.
Okay, we're recording
now. Wonderful. All right, we have our City School Advisory Committee. We'll just go around the table for the record to say who's here. I'm Deanna Fasinelli, Councilwoman, as well as I guess the liaison to the committee.
Hi, Ron Lebs. I'm with the school district.
Michelle Gonzalez, Villa Park Elementary.
Steve Franks, City Manager.
Nicole Jones, Villa Park High School.
Kathy Simmons, Sarah Villa Middle School.
Wonderful. Thanks for coming. All right.
So have we heard from Serrano? Nobody, I hadn't heard anything of details.
I haven't heard. I was assuming she'd be here.
Nope, I have not. Okay. All right. So any public comment? I don't see anyone here from the public.
Nope.
So there is not any public comment at this point. And minutes from November 9th.
Which are attached to your agenda. So they'll be attached to the agenda.
Thank you.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Not once we actually got emails.
Oh, yes.
Yes,
I have
they
to
did. Emails,
yes.
Does anyone have any corrections?
I got your name. I went back after you called. I went back. I'll change the agenda now. Oh, I
you
better change the minutes.
You corrected her name.
And the minutes, too. And the minutes, too. She had texted me or emailed in.
Yeah.
But I just changed the agenda.
It happens all the time. I almost don't even change anything anymore.
And she had also suggested to, somebody coming down the hall, okay. She had suggested that we identify what they are at the school. You see on the agenda?
Right.
The PFO.
Because really, I'm not representing Villa Park High School. I'm representing the Villa Park High School PFSO.
That's correct.
So I
Very
thought that was
suggestion.
A better suggestion.
So we'll be agendizing that way.
Yes. Wonderful. Yes. That's great.
There's one more correction. Villa Park Elementary is Michelle Gonzalez, not Michelle Norman. Michelle Norman is Serrano. On D.
Yes.
They got mixed up.
Too many Michelles.
Yeah.
No such thing.
Wonderful. All right. Well, with that one correction, do I hear a motion?
I have another one. One more.
Yes.
The bell correction on item D on the back of the minutes.
Yes.
We're doing it now. It hasn't. It's not done. We're going to be doing it.
Was done in house. Okay.
It will be done.
It's in process.
How about will be done?
How about being done?
It's being done. There you go. That's fine.
Okay. I was giving you credit for being done, right?
I would have liked that. We should be done. We should have been done.
Okay.
Exactly. All right. Well, with that, do I hear a motion to approve the minutes?
I so move.
I'll second.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Wonderful. Thank you. All right. Discussion of school events for the balance of the year that can impact our community. Is there anything new that's come up from our last meeting that the city would like to know about? Whether date changes of carnivals, Dad's Club. I know we have two different dates for Dad's. The Dad's Camp Out, has that been resolved?
I confirmed with Mark Kulai the date is going to be June 1st for us. I think that is different from Serrano. And the reason being, I believe, is that our principal, who is supposed to be on campus for the 24-hour period, is out of town due to her son's wedding. So I don't know if there was another figure that we could find. I know Mark was trying to find somebody possibly to do that, but I don't.
So there's June 1st is the date?
June 1st for Villa Park Elementary.
Okay. Well, it'd be nice if there was another OUSD
staff member
to do that, just because of the resources and the traffic. Having them on the same day is just everyone knows kind of what's going on, but it is what it is.
We don't want the kids to miss
Dad's Camp Out. And we certainly don't want her to miss her son's wedding.
Right.
So, okay, so June 1st, and then Serrano's is on the following Friday, which is normal.
No.
Okay. All
right. We have Thursday, February 22nd at 1:15 in the school auditorium at Sarah Villa. We have been selected as one of the California's 2018 schools to watch, taking center stage, modeling middle schools. In June, we'll also be recognized at the Washington, D.C. National Schools to Watch.
What was the date, did you say?
February 22nd at 1:15 p.m. in the school auditorium.
Who is the group that awards you? Is it?
It's called Schools to Watch.
It's
That's
Schools
the organization.
To Watch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And they're doing a
presentation
at 1:15?
They're presenting them the award.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice.
To the student
body. It's a big deal.
It's a huge deal. They're It uses competitive, rigorous review process to identify high-performing, high-impact middle schools so that all middle schools may have models of real-world success. And Serra Villa Middle School is one of just 112 modeled schools that have been identified statewide since 2003.
Can I take a picture of that?
So it's huge. You can actually have it when I'm done.
That'd be great. Great. That way I can
We went through a lot for this accreditation last year.
It's huge.
Yeah, it was a really big deal. So.
That's wonderful. Now, is that that's something that the principal actually went to apply for?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That shows initiative on the
Mrs. Ogle's just walking it.
Hard to do that. And
but staff was involved, the whole community. We brought in community members, parent members. You know, they wanted to talk to everybody about the school and the impact of school on the community and the programs that the school was doing. It was extensive. It was great.
So over and above the blue ribbon recognition.
Definitely. Okay. Definitely. Right. And this whole panel of people, you know, came from all over the state, all these other high-performing middle schools, and came out to interview us. And
is that the same thing as Dr. Miller's doing something like
that?
That's
WASC. That's right WASC. Now, yeah, high school has WASC review, and the middle school had WASC review too last year. But it was more of just the check-in, you know, because they check in every so often. So that was more the check-in. The high school, though, we have our full-blown review. So the WASC committee is going to be out in March for the high school.
It's another big deal.
It is
a big deal.
Yeah. But we're confident.
Okay, and then we have our school musical, The Little Mermaid, on May 4th and 5th.
Cute.
And our school fashion show, Highlighting the Decades, on May 18th.
That's something new, isn't it?
Actually, they did it last year. It's the
fashion design class.
Yes. Nice. Thank you very much.
Sure. I would encourage you to look up the article that was in the Register about it last year. It's an amazing program. The fashion design teacher has really taken that.
I do remember that. Mm-hmm. Now that you said that.
Yeah.
I remember I cut it out because I brought it because I didn't know anything about it.
Yeah. Right. Okay. It's amazing.
Wonderful.
Well, now you know.
Do they have that at BP?
No.
No.
Oh. Fashion?
Show? Fashion design? No. Yeah. Just, no. Okay. All right. Wonderful. All right. Let's go ahead and move on. Discussion of concerns, updates, improvements by the school, Villa Park High School.
Well, obviously, made plenty of handouts.
Wow, another one. Thank you.
I can't. Yes, you have a collection.
We've had two Measure S meetings in 3 weeks, so it's like I'm good.
Okay. If you have an extra, then could I have
How many would you like?
I'll just take one extra, but I'll pass this around at my next meeting.
So just a little background on this. These documents are available on our website, and just as a kind of a matter of news that you can use, is we are in the middle of updating our website. In fact, Cabinet is meeting today to review the final site. And I think we're going to flip the switch, go to our new site within another week or so, which is pretty cool. The new site is really cool. It's much more streamlined, much more updated, and kind of user-friendly.
The whole district website.
Mm-hmm. So as a caveat, if you go to the new site and something looks like it's missing, it might just be rearranged. And if you still can't find it, give somebody a call. And probably a link got broken. You know how those things happen. But this information is available on our website on our Measure S page. If you click at the very top, there's a link that just goes to Measure S, and you can jump over. And these are in there. I know they're in there somewhere, but you can kind of pick around and find them. Every month we do a monthly update. This one happens to be for the period ending December 31st. Usually we wrap it up and have the end of the month posted by the 15th. Usually we give it to the board, so we'll be giving it to the board next week, and then it's posted up on the website. And simply, let me just kind of simply go through what this is. So the first part of it, just as kind of a summary of what's happened program-wide, what we're focusing on, what we're looking at, the kind of the to-do list, what things have we made progress on. And, then there's a look ahead, what's coming up in the next 90 days. And, you know, this stuff shifts and ebbs and flows. So if you compare the month before to the current month, you'll notice things are changing. And then we kind of did a look ahead and what's coming up on board meetings and things like that, just to kind of capture where we are in the project. And then school by school, there's a page for each school that talks about where we are, what's happening specifically. And it's just kind of like a rolling list of what's happening by date. So as they fill up and the page gets too full, then we drop things off the bottom and just keep adding to the top. So try to just keep it very, very simple. Then if you go to the, kind of the middle toward the back, then there's a couple of fold-out pages. And the first one is our cash flow projection. And this explains in graphic form why we haven't yet sold bonds. Is we have about we've transferred about $12.7 million into our Fund 21, which is the fund we're going to be tracking expenditures out of. And we're still doing fine. We've only spent somewhere in the $4 to $5 million range. So we're doing okay. I think is where we're as of December. So if I go to the financial piece, that will tell me.
Something get messed.
It's that blank page at the end.
Financials didn't get stapled in there.
We can look on the website.
Doggone it. Wait a minute.
What are you looking for?
Oh, here they are. I'm sorry. They are. I know I'm having you pop around. Go back to page 13. This one.
Almost there.
Page 13. So there you can see in column B that we've expended about $5.6 million so far. That gives you, and Deanna's very intimately involved with this in its expanded form with all the lines because she's on the COC. But that kind of gives you the roll up on what we've done for the whole program. And then behind that are each particular project, just a roll up, very high level.
And more so what concerns, this is very important. And these, if anybody's really interested in getting into the detail, come to our Measure S meeting and you can do it. But for as far as the community of Villa Park, it's important that we report that we'll see activity starting in the fall over there. It'd be nice to be able to have the temporary
reload
in the summer, but it's not going to happen. It's going to happen when school starts. And that's really what the residents want to know. When are we going to start seeing some movement? I think the building's going to be demolished sometime, anyway, later in that year. So we still have some time before something's going to happen over at
Correct.
Park
so we have not yet sold bonds, and we have not yet really started engagement in terms of construction. If you go to the next to the last page, this is the project schedule. At the very top is Villa Park. So that kind of, and you can kind of go across and look at when things would be starting by quarter. So we are currently at the Division of the State Architect with our plans right now. And we're wrapping up some additional design elements, but the first increment of work, which includes putting down the temporary relocatables, that's at the State Architect's office right now. They're like our building department. And so when we get approvals back from them, then we'll get everything packaged up as quickly as we can. And if there's any way we can get going on things over the summer, we'll do that, but right now things are slated for the fall, and it's not that we're brain dead and thought, hey, we'll just wait till kids show up to start construction. It's just where things lined up in the timeline. So we will do our very best to time big, heavy, dirty, impactful things over winter break and over summer to the best of our ability. But there's a lot going to be going on with this project, and it will impact the site and the surrounding community. We are working with the city, and we had some meetings with Steve, the city manager, and the traffic engineer, Akram, and are looking at our plan for traffic and circulation. So we're working our way through that environmental review process as we speak, and working to try to partner up with the city to make sure we touch all the bases and address things and the concerns that they've expressed. So we're in the process of doing that.
Let me expand on that a little bit. Specifically, what that means in layman's terms is the ingress and egress from Taft Avenue. Mm-hmm. And, certainly the school district takes care of this side of the Taft Avenue as soon as the sidewalk starts, if you will. But the street is the city's responsibility. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to find some sort of a medium as to how we want the traffic to flow back and forth, not just because of the school, but for residents from Villa Park as well as residents from Orange, how it comes in. So that is not as easy as it sounds. because we don't, one of the concerns is that we don't want the Villa Park residents having to go around the city to come in from one side. So we've got a little bit of an uphill battle, I think, to try and work that out on Taft Avenue. So we're going to hopefully have several discussions about that.
There's kind of two prongs to this. Yeah. One is existing traffic conditions and issues. I mean, that's and that's separate from whatever changes we might make that would affect or impact the environment. And so we're trying to sift through that. We believe we've come up with some ideas that will provide more queuing on campus to try to take the queuing off, but we have some ingress and egress issues that we're working with, and we're doing that. We're addressing that head on and working together to try to come up with a solution. In fact, I just said hi to Akram, and I know that he and our traffic engineer coordinating efforts at the moment. So we will work to address those as well as some other concerns that have been brought up. So we're in the process of doing a lot of groundwork. This other sheet, I affectionately refer to this as my washing machine comparison sheet. So if you were to, you know, go buy a new washing machine and click on compare, right? Then you put them in nice columns and you can compare all the features. So this simply was just an attempt to put on one sheet of paper what was happening at each of the high school projects. And they're different. They're very, very similar, but they're different. And so with that, I'm happy to answer the questions you might have. But that's what we're doing in a nutshell.
We're moving along with that.
Yeah, and if you have any questions, just you can call me. We have contact information somewhere. No, we did. Yeah, on the back.
Okay.
It doesn't have our phone number. I don't know why. Okay. 628-4500.
There you go.
We'll find you.
You can find me. Go to the website. You can find me.
Okay. Nicole, do you have anything else for on Villa Park High School as far as concerns, updates, improvements?
Just as updates, our pancake breakfast was last Saturday. It was a tremendous success, and we really have to thank Marty at Colliery's, who helped underwrite the event, as well as Villa Park Rotary, who really came in. Our biggest complaint the year before had been the fact that people were waiting like 45 minutes for their pancakes. So with Rotary, we brought in a lot of extra manpower. We got an extra grill from the fire authority. And other than the initial lineup first thing in the morning, we just flew through and there wasn't a line the rest of the day. So really a lot of thanks to the guys at Rotary for manning those grills. Measure S, Ron has already thoroughly covered. At some of the district meetings that have gone on, we had a legislative coalition meeting yesterday, and the district is going to be announcing a parent active shooter response training. The flyers have not yet been approved to go out, but look for that. It's something that is an increased issue, unfortunately, and you know, something that I think our parents could be aware of. We're going to be addressing, I think, center security and traffic a little later on in the agenda, right?
Or should it's up to you.
Talk
about
it.
We will. Okay. We'll talk about traffic.
Okay, yeah. And then just a couple other things. Santiago Canyon College has this STEAM night. If you want, I can scan it and send it to the group. Okay. As well as El Medina High School is hosting something called Screenagers, which sounds like a very interesting thing on Thursday, February 22nd at 6:45.
Okay, so
yeah, it's about screen time. Yeah. Impacting, you know, the way that teenagers interact with one another, where they interact with you as a parent, how they do in school, that sort of thing. So there's some really good programs too coming up. So
wonderful. Thank you.
Yep. So that's all I have.
All right.
I know that they're, she's, Mrs. Ogan thinks that they may, switch from, late start on Wednesdays to minimum day, modified day, mm-hmm. like the elementary schools.
It's not in raw.
Yeah.
I understand.
But it's...
Boy, but that's a big step.
It's a huge step.
Looks like next school year.
That would be wonderful. Yeah.
Would that help the traffic situation?
It would just make the traffic the same as any other school day.
Yes.
Because they get out at the same time now. But it would just be so much... As a parent, to have on Wednesdays, to have late start at the middle school and then early release at the elementary,
it's
all over the place. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just even if you're a working parent and expect your child to be at school at 8 a.m. every morning.
Right.
And they're not supposed to start till 9
So this will align the schedules better.
Right. Okay. And then we don't have parents dropping off their kids here at 8 a.m. because they have to go to work.
Right.
And then have all the chaos that's
Steve
happening.
Steve will appreciate that.
And having all that chaos, because it happens. I know my sister works full-time, and so fortunately I was able to take her kids, but a lot of parents don't
so
have
don't
a backup.
You don't want middle schoolers roaming the neighborhoods.
Yeah, and they do.
Yeah, and I'm so happy that they're finally listening, because the parents' concerns, for some reason, did not seem to get very far, because we've had that issue.
Oh, yeah.
And it was very difficult when it happened. But when the safety concern came up here in the town center and the problems, then they listened.
Mm-hmm.
Because now it was impacting them, because the principals had to come down here and the vice principals, and we were calling them, and it was a big deal. So it finally hit to the point. So that's a great move to do that. I can't wait. Parents are just going to be giddy about that. Good news.
Plus, my son's very excited about that.
I bet.
Because he's a seventh grader this year, so next year he'll be an eighth grader, and he's like, yes.
That's wonderful. Now, are you looking at a new marquee also?
We are not. Although she said
we talked about it on the wall in our last meeting. There was
a discussion. No, that was,
It's Serrano.
No, I think...
Because Sarah Villa, she said she'd love to have one, but they haven't looked in it. They haven't... They don't have money set aside for it, but if you want to give her one, she'll take it.
I thought they had said something, too.
Really? Okay, yeah.
I checked the notes from my notes.
Did you? And it says Serrano. I wonder if we just met, because I know Serrano's putting it on the wall.
No, see, they talked about another.
It wasn't me. Okay. And I'm the only one, unless she mentioned something.
But,
because I called Mrs. Zogan and I said, do you know anything about a marquee? Because I didn't remember saying anything about that.
Okay, all right. No. Okay, no marquee right now.
But she would love it. Okay. If you want to give her one, she'll take it.
I bet she would.
That's what she said.
I'm working on one.
Yeah.
I can't work on two. Okay. All right. Well, I know we're not going to talk about Serrano, but I do know that they're putting one on the wall. I don't know where it's at. But let's talk about Villa Park Elementary.
One thing real quick, does CB have also a night on the books on the 22nd for like a community social media like awareness something night?
No, I thought the 22nd was this thing here.
Yeah, I know you mentioned that in the afternoon.
Yeah, that's February 22nd. Yeah. No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Maybe? No, I didn't remember seeing anything.
Okay, maybe it's a different day.
Are you having a parent information like this spring or no?
Yes, but they haven't announced it yet. Okay. She hasn't announced it yet.
Hmm. Okay, I'll look into that. For some reason, I have the 22nd on my mind for
something. I'll check. Our meeting's in a couple weeks.
So Villa Park Elementary, our carnival is coming up March 16th. That was one of the events. But the school bell dedication is something that is on the list. I think we're trying to figure out exactly how we're going to embrace that.
I was swapping emails with Rayanne earlier this week.
And
I don't know where you linked in on some of it.
Yeah.
And I responded back that I think that's great. We can push it to open house.
Possibly. So the discussion was maybe something before the carnival, which is coming up really quick. But I didn't understand the overall, you know, how big we want to go. I definitely think the community needs to be involved. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people would like to be there to see that. I don't know if there will be, you know, anybody speaking, or if like the oral histories will be ready or anything like that, or if it's just a bell dedication ceremony. I know Mark Coulet had some questions about like the plaque and the, you know, putting the crest on the monument that's already there, as well as will the bell be ringable? And I mean, that's kind of like, you kind of want it to be a feature, but not overused, obviously.
Right. Well, we certainly would like, when it first came up, we certainly would like to make it a community event.
Definitely.
And the city will participate in that, and we have told the superintendent that for sure. And we do want to invite the community to come. First of all, I'd like them to see the campus. I mean, because people don't know the campus. And the few that will come will be very impressed. They can see what happened, you know, to that, the old schoolhouse coming down, and what it's turned into. Because it was a very sensitive subject, and now we can turn it into something positive, that they could see what that is. Open house is, you know, you got a lot of people there.
There are a lot of people there.
Yeah. But it's a great
My concern is that I don't know if we want to make this something just on its own, to give it its own identity, because open house people are going to be like, okay, great, and everyone's going to their
typically
classrooms.
It would be on its own.
So I don't know what our role should be at the moment. I know the city would like to be involved. Mm-hmm. The school district is obviously involved. I don't know where we stand. Do we all get together to plan this event?
We should. Why don't we set up a time that we get together and see what would be best with the principal, since it's her school, if you will.
Okay.
And then we can get the district involved and some of the leaders that have have been interested in it, and see what we can do about that and look at a date to do that.
I think that makes sense.
Open house may not be the proper time just because of the traffic and stuff. And
And we talked about Carnival, but that's right around the corner, and I feel like everybody is setting up. We just get out of school at 3. Carnival starts usually like 4 or 5. I think 5, actually. So I think it's too much.
That suggestion kind of came up in a discussion Rayanne and I had in trying to
get
it moving along.
Yeah, get it moving, right.
From the facilities and the things, if the school site figures out when they want to have it, we'll have it installed and ready to go.
Okay.
So we are going to be doing the restoration next week, starting the process. We have it all figured out what we're going to do, and we're going to get the rust off it next week and then get a clear coat on it.
And that's just for the bell.
That's
part,
for
right?
the bell, but then we have the shield or whatever you want to call it, and the monument was made so that we could mount that on there. So we will get all of that taken care of, and I think if we push this out maybe towards June or whenever, it doesn't matter to us. The longer we have, then we can plan it and make sure we get it taken care of quickly.
Okay.
I mean, get it taken care of in a timely manner
originally,
so it's ready.
We were told it would be June.
Oh,
okay.
Okay, just so you know, originally, prior to you coming, that was the original kind of timeline that they had thought that this was going to take place, because we didn't want it when it wasn't complete. You know, it needs to be complete if you're going
to. Well, I think we should do our due diligence to make it a nice ceremony.
And just work with Rayanne and figure out what you guys want to do over there. And the district, and you know, we'll support and we'll provide whatever we need to do to make that happen.
Okay. Okay, perfect. So moving on from the bell dedication, so I've moved on from my shade structure to possibly doing a new marquee for our school. I've debated whether or not to put something on the wall, on the MPR, or put it where our current marquee is now. Makes sense to do it right the first time and put it where the marquee is now. I currently have our paperwork into our principal, Rayanne, and her and Lisa Adre are working on getting that through, because I need to figure out costs on running electrical, and I think there are some other electrical projects at the school that they would like to tie into that as well. So I'm just in a holding pattern.
How much? I know you sent it to me. I don't mean.
Yeah,
how
it's
much are you looking at?
$20,000.
Without the electricity?
Without electricity. For a double-sided.
Well, it cost you just as much to put the electricity.
Yeah.
Okay. And do you have that? Because the district's not going to pay for any of that, is it?
Oh, no. I'm planning to raise that. We do have it, but we're also going to be doing another fundraiser this spring. So that will also supplement what we already have. But it just comes down to our goals budget and how much we want to put out. And if we can't get it done this year, then we'll, you know, put it for next year.
I encourage
year as
you
well.
To apply for a grant through the foundation. Okay, grants
definitely.
Are offered four times a year. I encourage you to do it, because that is something that beautifies the community, and that's where their money's supposed to go. So it is a very that would be a great thing for them to be able to
do. Is it one of the light up ones?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the neighbors are okay with it?
I haven't spoke to the neighbors. It does have dimming qualities. I mean, features where you can dim the lights at night. Mm-hmm. We could just turn it off at night, you know, if that's an issue. In fact, I was driving by McPherson just the other night, and I noticed it was on. And when I was driving back, it was dark. It was off. Or maybe it was on a pause or something, but it was dark. I was like,
I talked to Michelle about
it just
that.
Turns off.
Yeah. I told her, you know, that's something that we'll take a hit for. I can guarantee you. That we will get opposition. There will be no question about
because
it.
Because it's lit.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's just nothing you can do about it. I'm going to tell you right now. And we'll just have to.
But I do have to say, I think the campus, not that that sign is going to provide light, but I mean, it will, but our campus needs light in the evening hours. It is very poorly lit. I mean, just for a multitude of security reasons, when we have our musical theater performances at night. Nobody can see. You know, we have people trying to do food concessions and things like that, and we've got to get portable lights. And, I mean, there's just no lighting. Yeah. Usually, I mean,
it's horrible. I know you can't see, you can't walk,
but I don't know.
We all know that.
It's
a wonder we haven't killed ourselves.
It's not like a public area in the evening, so to speak. It's not like a shopping center or anything, but I don't know if there's
the parking lot lights would empty the bleachers, wouldn't it?
Yes,
but get everybody fired.
But the new signs, the way the lights, you know, the lights go in versus out every year, they are better. So we'll work with the community when it's ready. There's no reason to.
Get them fired.
There's no reason whatsoever at this point to do it because I think you're going in the right move. I mean, I do like the other ones, but the reality is it has to be electrical. I mean, it's just
an update. For sure. So that's where we are in that. We did purchase 4 pretty big umbrellas for our new quad area, and we're just waiting on those for our dad's club to put some sand in there so they don't topple over. So we've got that going for us, and that's about it for right now.
Awesome. Great. All right, let's follow up on behavior at the schools and law enforcement activities in the town center. I personally have not gotten any calls lately about the town center. Which is good, which means doesn't mean that it's gone. It just means that it's not as bad. That's all. What are your views? Have you seen, heard anything? It has gotten better, but
I've been asking around. I mean, other than a few, you know, little incidents, you know, some food fights in front of Dunkin' Donuts or whatever, it does seem to have improved, and there does seem to be increased visibility by law enforcement in the center on those mornings. So I think that's helped a lot.
Okay. Now, Steve, you?
You know,
it's been really kind of quiet.
Like the practice is now, we talked to the business owners, they no longer go out and confront the kids. They just take a picture of the kids and send it to the school, and they are taken care of, and the problem goes away. That's sort of what's happening, and they don't want the owners confronting anybody.
Right.
They don't want any confrontations. They talk to the parents. They need to do whatever. The sheriff's department is calling parents. They send out notices saying the parents can be held liable. The school district sent out something. Mm-hmm. Parents can be held liable, so that's sort of to address the Wednesday morning.
Great.
Bagel Me has, you know, that's probably the biggest impact. And yesterday there was an army, about 30 kids from CV walking in, and it's like, wow, you know, it's sort of, and Ralph's, they sort of, it's a necessary evil with the backpacks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's.
And at 1 o'clock it was empty because I was with 4 women. We sent one of them down there to get us lunch, and she came back. She says, there was nobody in there. So at least they make their money in the morning because there was no one in there at 1.
Do you know what it
so
is?
So it's kind of, you know, it's a toss up.
If they go to the early release versus late start at CV, you will see less and less problems at the town center. I guarantee it because we get, it's almost like driveline. In the morning, down at the one end of the center.
Yeah.
When the kids are being dropped off. And you see it, you feel bad.
Yeah.
But it's what happens. So, you know, Deputy Benzie's been here pretty regularly. Yeah. The sheriff makes a point of, you know, moving them on. And kids are pretty well behaved. I mean, we have occasional skateboarders and stuff like that. But there's not.
Yeah.
The stuff that we don't know is like, and you told me the other day, that's when high school's doing testing. All of a sudden, you'll see an influx of kids at noon, and you're like, what's going on? Because they'll be coming over for food.
And I try to keep them up to date. Hey, by the way, it's minimum day. It's fine.
This week's minimum day.
Because those are things that people, you know, don't think about, that they're all going to come in here and get
something.
And we do
have that.
End of the semester.
Right, exactly. So I try to let them know, and, you know.
That makes a difference. So I've talked to the principals and said, give us a heads up, because right now I hear from the councilwoman when things are going on, but otherwise the owners will say something like, hey, how come there are a lot more kids? What, you know, should we call the school? We got a bunch of truants over here. Well, no, you don't.
They think that though, to call truancy.
They've gotten sort of,
they're on it. That's awesome.
Yeah, they kind of get more active.
Yeah, that's great. We do have that one kind of, not random, but I think it's like the third Monday a month where they have off. So teacher in service. So it's minimum day that day. So.
So before we go to Dee, I just want to make a mention, because I talked to you about the grant. Mm-hmm. The Women's League typically, for years, has given out scholarships to Phillip Park High School. We've had several different kinds of scholarships, but there's been a reduction in the amount of members in the Women's League, as well as the dollar amounts that people want to spend. So they did something different this year. The dues typically have been, I think, they're $40 or $45. And we've had a Ways and Means event to raise some money. And so this year, there is no Ways and Means event. And the dues were reduced. What they did is they said, instead of having an event, it's going to be an extra $25. And you get to designate where you want that $25 donated. So if you're a member of the Women's League, you're going to get a letter that says you owe this $25. And you have your choice. It's going to go, do you want it to go to Villa Park Schools, scholarships, Friends of the Library of Villa Park, and beautification. And so the individual person will check it, and if, you know, there's $600 that goes to scholarships, then Villa Park High School will maybe get three scholarships of $200 apiece. I mean, it's not the $2,500 that we've given before to several people. Mm-hmm. So that's a big change.
Yeah.
A huge change for the Women's League and certainly for the high school. On the other hand, you might get a little bit of money to Bill Park Elementary. Mm-hmm. Which is fine. They might divvy it up, so we'll see what happens. But it's up to the community. That was the Women's League's survey results. Mm-hmm. That was one of the things that they wanted. They wanted the ability to say where their donations went. I don't necessarily know that's a good idea, but that's what they're doing this year. Mm-hmm. So if we have, we won't know if there's scholarships. I know that the school, somebody from the PSL contacted the Women's League to let us know if there was going to be scholarships, and we're saying yes, mm-hmm. but, you know, it may just be a check for $150, which is fine.
It's fine.
I'll take it.
Yep.
Not a problem. It's better mm-hmm. than it's better than zero.
Yeah,
so
right.
That's what we'll have offering to you okay. guys at the end of the year.
Well, and the kids like it as an honor, too.
Exactly.
You know, it's kind of another feather in the cap just to have been selected by the Women's League. It's a,
yeah, and I yeah. agree. So that's why. So we'll see what happens. I know that most people are in favor of the scholarships because the deduction is not tax deductible. So they like it to go to the scholarship mm-hmm. instead of giving it to Friends of the Library. They can just donate directly to the Friends of the Library mm-hmm. and have it deductible. So mm-hmm. I just wanted to let you know about that. All right, let's go to law enforcement activities and OUSD and traffic. Well, actually, we'll go to traffic four. I know that you have some things to discuss, Nicole, regarding traffic.
Well, just kind of the usual, okay. You know. I mean, it would be great to get a crossing guard over at Villa Park Elementary. You know, it's like still the problems over there, you know, with we did walk him to school again, you know, but it just, I won't let him go by himself. I just won't. It's crossing center. Yeah, center at Phillip Park Road. I won't let him do it alone. It's, you know, people stop right there, you know, because the line is going around the corner. So people are stopped at the corner in the crosswalk. People blow through the light all the time.
I
just don't feel safe letting him go.
How many times? I have emails. I have gone to Puckett. I don't know why they will not cooperate with us. They won't put a man there. We got the radar guns. We calibrated. We had, for a short time, we had a police car that was sitting on center, at least mm-hmm. to stop the traffic. Mm-hmm. They blow through that light mm-hmm. every 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. It is
That's
so
scary.
Dangerous to drive through there.
Mm-hmm.
It's horrible. We've had two accidents, I grant it, in 6 years, if you will, but that's two more than we've had at Serrano and Featherhill and Dotson mm-hmm. and where we have spent thousands of dollars from the city.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All I can tell you is that I guess my request, your request, is not enough because you have to come to the council mm-hmm. and you have to bark. I hate to say it.
So
they just won't listen. I'm very disappointed in the sheriff department.
On center, so the school signs and the speed limits on center, like obviously in front of the school and near the school, are there. But there's nothing on Villa Park. Is there anything on Villa Park Road that indicates that you are near a school?
Yes, there's a school mm-hmm. crossing.
There's just one.
That's it. It's
school crossing sign, right?
Yeah. You know, that's what it is at all the schools.
Where's the signal we're
talking about?
And
now we do have on Villa Park Road.
Villa Park Road and Center. Yes.
Villa Park Road.
It is an extremely dangerous intersection at any time, whether it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon
several
or
incidents.
6.
Yeah, we had a parent hit there a few years ago.
And that's Catella, right?
The best thing I can say, Nicole, is because I mean...
So they blow through going this way? Yes.
What I was told, I've been told a variety of stories.
We had a parent hit by a car 2 years ago.
We don't have the manpower. We don't have we can't put a blank police car on Center, not Center, on Villa Park Road because there isn't enough room. We have the radar guns. We have the manpower. Great. A parking ticket is not the same as somebody running through that red light.
Dropping off in the morning.
On Center itself, it's like you have people in the morning going left into the parking lot, which that's no
left
turn.
There's a line on this
either in the morning, and it's happening more and more and more. Like I don't know. A couple years ago, when we had people out, it's like having just a presence there really helps. You know, I don't know if you've noticed, but the left turns too into the parking lot have been getting more and more frequent in the morning.
Oh, in the front?
In the front.
Yeah. People turning left.
You cannot turn left right now.
Well, and for the last couple years, it's been fine. Like, we haven't had anyone for some reason, like the middle of the year. I don't know whether someone started it and now everyone's following, but now there's like 4 different cars now on a daily basis that just keep turning left in there. And it just really blocks up the traffic because you have the traffic
that's
dropping off. Yeah, and they're going into the through lane and trying to get over, or even worse, dropping off their kids in the through lane to where then the kids are having to cross through the drop-off lane traffic.
We have no presence there.
Yeah.
Steve knows it. He's heard it. He's looking at us. He's heard this before. If I have to put it on the agenda, there is no presence whatsoever on that end of the...
Yeah. And at the high school, we're going okay. The crossing guard over there does a great job with the CV, Villa Park traffic after school.
He really does.
Yeah, he really does a great job. So, you know, I have no complaints there, but oh my gosh, Center and Villa Park Road. And what's going on Center and drop-off in the morning. My husband's afraid he's going to get some road rage.
Just the people darting across the street with their kids, even.
Yeah. Or even worse, the kids alone. I mean, I've seen like little kids, like first, second graders, be dropped off across the street and they're going across.
Yeah, and that's the parents. I mean, that is just the parents.
Yeah, that's the parents.
Parents being silly. But, okay, this is going to come up again, and I'm going to have some discussion with Steve because we need to have presence.
Well,
we have a school resource officer who does a great job. I mean, I understand he's only one person. But if we're able to concentrate on one area for so many years, it's now time to come back then and just concentrate on another, if that's what needs to get done. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't be turning left. You're right. It always was good. If it started again, they know there's not any police presence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do know that.
I would advise not to speed in Villa Park. Our radar is starting now. All of our officers are trained. There were 4 stops in Villa Park yesterday on stops.
I saw one of them yesterday.
I would encourage
to
stay with them.
Did they put the radars on? Good.
They got them and they went through training and we gave them copies
good
of the updates. So I know of 4 yesterday because Mike and people reported them. So I'm just saying, I know they went through training because that was an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I would strongly encourage, you have to be certified. All the officers were certified. Mm-hmm. And they have speed limits. We have to give them a report of what the speed limits for each street and everything. So we've done that. So I would just say, I've had a success.
Was that a motor cop? Was it
black
a regular?
Black and whites.
Okay, good.
So I'm just going to tell you, you may hear people saying, and I'm going to tell you, blowing through stop signs or whatever, I wouldn't do it right now because they are out there and they know, and there will be no quotas, but they do know that there is they'll be giving
up. They need to hang out at
But were they on our, and in all honesty, Steve, where were they? Where were they? Because I didn't see.
One on Center, I think probably 2 on Center, 1 on Lemon, 1 on,
I'm trying to remember where the one was that I didn't see. I was all over yesterday.
One
yesterday, so I don't remember.
Okay. Well, that'll get the word out. If you ticket, you know, if people start getting tickets, that'll get the word out pretty darn quick.
You give one ticket at Bell Park Elementary to
that'll
a mom,
change
and
behavior.
Then the phone starts ringing.
And I'm going to tell you, too, in the past, we've had deputies that just give you warnings. It's not the case now. You're going to get a ticket.
Good.
You violate, you're getting a ticket. So that's just, I'm just warning you that don't say, well, gosh, it's they'll stop and give me a warning.
Yeah, there definitely is no presence. A few years ago, I got a ticket for parking within 30 feet of the stop sign. And I keep talking about hitting that
ding,
curb
ding.
Red over there.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, too,
and they park on the corner.
Yeah.
On the corner.
I mean,
like,
what our priorities, and we have one deputy at a time to cover the city. Mm-hmm. He gets called for any, you get any emergency call, he's gone. That's just reality, okay? And we that's part of the reality. But the issue is, we've told them moving violations first, parking second. Mm-hmm. I don't want, parking we can get to, moving, you got to catch them now. And candidly, one of the biggest issues we've talked about is the speeding on Villa Park Road. That's just it's a raceway.
Yeah.
It, all times of day. It's not just night and day. It's all times. You can get if you find someone going under 60 within, you're pretty much lucky. Mm-hmm. So we've told them moving violations first and secondarily parking. So we are,
Makes sense.
That's just where we are. So the parking is, it's going to happen, but it's
not
going to happen.
Well, you can tell because that's why it's increased. You see
totally,
more
because there is
that
no,
illegal
no
parking.
Oh, yeah,
there.
The parking is on the stop sign is a big issue.
But
for those of us who've gotten a ticket, it does.
And I roll my window down and I say, don't park there, you're going to get
a
ticket.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, I wanted to touch back on Center. So it was in the last year, maybe it was last year, there was presence there with the cars turning right onto Center Road, mm-hmm. off of Villa Park Road to go to Villa Park Elementary. So you can't block that street, Regency, I think it
Correct.
Was, that cul-de-sac
that
there.
Spencer.
And I want to say there are like red curbs somewhere where you are not supposed to be stopped by. So an officer in the morning, traffic is atrocious. You have the lane of traffic coming this way. You have a turn lane, and then you have the traffic turning onto Center and the traffic still trying to move through Center. So essentially it's like a 3-lane road, mm-hmm. and we're making it 4. So the officer stops in the middle of the road just before the turn lane to enforce the traffic. It was a nightmare. It was
you couldn't
a
get
disaster.
To the school.
Yeah. And you couldn't be in line to drop off your kid because he was saying you can't stop on the red curb, and he was issuing tickets. And people, how am I supposed to drop off my child?
He was making.
So I don't know the answer to managing that.
He was making a statement.
Yes,
I just
definitely.
Want you to know that it wasn't.
Yes,
yes, he knows
Do
what
he's
doing.
Do you remember that time?
Yes. And that
yes.
was yeah. done intentionally.
Yes.
To make a statement, and yes, it does irk you, and yes, it's wrong. But the statement was made.
The statement was
Does
made.
Does that make sense?
Definitely.
So if you see that, they know
yes.
what they're doing.
They know exactly what they're
so
doing.
I don't.
And I do have to say, if you drop your child off at 7:45, there are no problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yes, of course. We all know
no
that.
No problem. Yeah.
We all know that. It's clear.
No problems.
Try 7:43.
Well,
it's even better.
It's clear.
Even better.
We drop off at 7:45, though. We still see the left
turns. The gates open at
7:45.
So everybody's trying to drop their kid up at 8:05.
Everyone.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. The very... Or 8.
Yes.
Or 8:03.
Yes.
You're looking at
it's
parents
ridiculous.
Who never... Their kids were never late to school. There was
right.
never...
Yeah.
I will never... I've never
complained
about
that. But if you come 10 minutes early, there's no problem. Just zoom,
yeah,
zoom.
You come in, it's you come out. But
no
you still
problem.
See the left turns. You still see the parking across the street and running across the street. It's prevalent at all... times.
And I don't
I mean,
know if
we'll
ever stop that.
No.
Well, the left turns into the driveway, like,
the
really, I hadn't seen that for a long time, and this year it's just been increasing as the school year has been going on, and I just don't understand it. Because it's very clearly
do you guys
marked.
Have, parent volunteers that help
no,
move the lines along?
We do not. The teachers do that.
See, because I know it, okay, I'm from Knoll Canyon mm-hmm. Elementary. I did traffic 3 days a week.
Right.
And we used to. I did traffic.
A lot
yes.
of those
yeah.
issues.
We used
depends
to
on the crop
traffic.
Of parents for the
yeah.
year.
Yeah.
To be honest, that's really what.
Well,
it
and
is
it's not a fun job to have.
Well, I want
it's
not.
It's
I want
a very confrontational job to have.
But
it's
everybody's safety, and unfortunately, everyone's in a hurry in the morning, and they got to get
right.
from A to B, and
yeah.
they don't care who's in their way, and.
Yeah. So I know that the law enforcement right now do have, they're a little bit busy. They have some issues right now with the riverbed. So concentration wise, just for a short period of time.
You may not see, we have reassigned Deputy Benzie temporarily to help deal with some other issues that are going on in the county that could have impacts on Villa Park. Uh-huh. And probably are having an impact on Villa Park actually at times. We sort of prioritize.
Yeah, don't let that word out that he's not.
He's doing his thing, but it's just not. But not
for a couple weeks, he has been reassigned because it's a bigger issue than, I hate to say it, but than the traffic. Mm-hmm. A little frustrating, but it is a bigger issue right now.
And it is an issue that we've got to keep on top of before it becomes a problem. So, just so you know.
Yeah.
All right, but we're going to come back with that one also because we'll have one more meeting before the school ends, at least to do that.
Is there any message I need to take back to the district of Rayanne? The left turns, I get. I think I should probably just at least mention to her.
Well, I think, quite frankly, I know that they do have teachers, and I see them every day. If you had one of the teachers at that end of the driveway, you know, that corner, and when someone tries to turn left, they're just teachers, so they're limited. You know, teachers may not be cooperative. You wave them off because you can't put the cones there because people can turn in there. But wave them off. Tell them they can't do it. Yeah. And, you know, you got to go straight.
But could you put the cones on the left-hand lane?
No, because when you come, you can turn in to drop off or you can go through. So when you come in. So you do need to have
when you do the right turn, you can pick one of your two lanes to either go through or try to park. There are a few visitor spaces there as well. Yeah. They're rarely free in the morning, but, you know, if there was one, you could pull in.
Yeah, you could do it. But that's what you want to mention.
So you need to keep that free, yeah.
Yeah, and she can
maybe educate
the teachers to let them know. All right, is there anything else we can go around the room if there's anything we haven't discussed?
No, I was hoping Ed Howard would be here, but I don't know. I was going to bring up just a sports topic.
Okay, do that because I have a meeting with I have a phone call meeting with him today regarding booster club donations that I've taken the superintendent and talking about how the booster clubs ask for donations and pressure that is coming from certain members of the schools.
You know, the boosters just had a meeting at the district.
I didn't know that. Maybe that's why he contacted me.
Yeah.
The superintendent contacted me, and I didn't have time for her, and so
yeah,
it's
all
an issue.
The booster club presidents from all the schools were called into the district. They had an accountant who gave them a presentation on, you know, compliance just with laws, but also the role of the district and the booster clubs together, you know, what you could and couldn't do. For example, they don't want you putting due dates. So you have your suggested donation as a booster club. They don't want you to even say that your, you know, suggested donation is due on March 1st. There should be no due date. So they laid out a lot of details that I think a lot of people in booster clubs weren't aware of. So even though, yes, we know that we need to just ask for donations. It can't be a mandatory thing. It's not, either you pay or don't participate. Everyone's been really good about that. But stuff like due dates and like some of these other little details, you know, not everyone knew about. And so it was a really good education piece, I think, for our booster clubs.
That's great. That's
did every sports booster club attend?
As far as I know, I mean, the ones I've spoken to, they either, if the president couldn't attend, they sent another representative. Okay. So, for example, for aquatics, Robert Frackleton couldn't go, but Mary Kulai did.
Okay.
So, yeah, as
We've
far
had
as I
some,
know.
Some issues with the boosters. And when I say demanding, not just due dates, demanding, then going to the children, telling the children that the parents haven't paid, and other children know and come and are telling the kids, hey, why haven't you guys paid?
Well, and there's been some real problems.
It's a big, so that's why I took this to the superintendent. So he sent me an email yesterday. Mm-hmm. So I didn't anticipate him being here because he said call me tomorrow. So that's why I'm glad to hear that happened. But
yeah.
What was your concern about bringing it up?
Not really a concern. I was just interested in figuring out or finding out the best route to possibly add a lacrosse program at Villa Park High School.
And they just added a surf club.
Well,
there's only two out of the eight schools in our Century Conference, Brayo, Linda, and ourselves, that did not have a lacrosse program.
I actually am arranging for Tom Fox to come to our next PFSO meeting to address stuff like that. Because I said parents don't understand the path that it takes to get a sport, you know, because we recently had ice hockey, you know, ice hockey kind of got in, the Ducks mm-hmm. kind of helped them, mm-hmm. you know, kind of get up and running. So mm-hmm. we've had that. We've had, you know, the surf club, which, you know, quite frankly, I got in the middle of at the beginning mm-hmm. of this school year because mm-hmm. the kids weren't getting any response. But just kind of lay out that path for the parents, how to get a sport established. And then too, how kids get their varsity letters. Because we have some kids that are involved in like gymnastics and diving, you know, mm-hmm. that the high school doesn't have the resources for them mm-hmm. to go through the high school at all and won't in the foreseeable future. Mm-hmm. And so how do those kids go about getting their letters? How do they get their awards through the school? So okay. I was going to have him come and do a presentation next week.
Okay.
Do you know the date? Don't know if that would be helpful. It's Tuesday. It's our normal PFSO meeting. Oh. Yes, this Tuesday.
Okay.
Oh, do you want me just, do you want to give me questions and I can ask?
We switched our executive board meetings to Tuesdays.
Oh.
So, and every Tuesday, it's, oh. you know, I'm like, ah. It's
who's
the high
that
school
that's
PFSO.
Coming to speak?
Tom Fox, who's our athletic director at Villa Park High School.
Yeah.
One.
I'm just saying, I mean,
lacrosse. And like I said, I'm still working out his schedule. He still is supposed to be letting me know sure. if he can come. But that's, I've put in the request and he goes, well, let me check my schedule, see what I can do.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm just, you know, we talk about enrollment and things like that. I think lacrosse is a pretty big sport. And I think if your school does not have the program, I think you lose those kids.
Yeah.
And if only two of the eight schools in our conference have the program, it's growing, and I think for it to become a CIF sport, I think it's like 20% of the population or schools have to be active in that, and I think we're coming to that.
Who started it this year? El Medina and Canyon?
El Medina and Canyon.
Yeah. Yeah.
And El Dorado has one, Yorba Linda, Esperanza, just Rio Linda and Villa Park.
Yeah, because the district, we were actually losing kids who were using lacrosse as an excuse to go to Foothill mm-hmm. High School. Because mm-hmm. Foothill had the program mm-hmm. and none of the high schools in OUSD did. Mm-hmm. So they were actually using it as an excuse to go to Foothill. And so, yeah, by instituting at El Medina and Canyon, they kind of got rid of that
excuse.
And that's
how El Medina has a culinary program, so now that's, they don't get to go there
exactly,
either, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So teaching Latin, we'll keep them all in.
Yeah, but I really mm-hmm. do think that there's enough demand in our district for Villa Park to have a program as well.
All right. Any other comments?
That's all.
Let me just know like, okay. any okay. questions you have, and I'll ask
next
them and get back
day.
To you.
I would say for sometime in April after spring break. Mm-hmm. What is that? Does that sound good to you guys? Spring break, and that's the first of the week. And typically, today, Thursday?
Today's Thursday.
Okay. How about on April 12th?
What day of the week is that?
That was Thursday.
Thursday
again. Mm-hmm.
April 12th.
Is that all right?
Yep.
9 a.m. or
9:30? 9 a.m. All right. Thank you very much. And, of course, if there's anything else that comes up in between, let us know.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank
meeting
you
adjourned.
So much. Thank you.
Lots of good stuff. I want to take a copy of the two.
Oh,
I'm
yes.
take a photocopy of the two.
Yeah.
So I can,
we want to
yeah,
run them
on
up.
The machine. Thank you, Ron.
No, you're welcome.
Yes.
Do we need to coordinate calendars?
Yes, okay.
For
him and I, for the measure.
She's the board got a
meeting,
presentation.
The presentation
to
in March. We were going to do it in February, but I can't do it because there's that homeless.
And we're totally fine. That's one of the email, part of the email I sent.
Yeah, I read
totally
that
fine.
Part.
Okay. That was good to find
Steve,
out.
Can you,